President Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro wrapped up about 15 minutes ago a news conference, part of the historic meeting in Cuba. President Obama today defended his decision to lift trade and other restrictions with Cuba.
I have faith in people. I think that if you meet Cubans here and Cubans meet Americans and they're meeting and talking and interacting and doing business together and going to school together and learning from each other, then they'll recognize people are people. And in that context, I believe that change will occur.
And through a translator, President Raul Castro said that if he were given a list of political prisoners in Cuba, he would release them tonight. We're going to go now to Julia Swag to get her thoughts on this visit. She is a research fellow, a senior research fellow at the University of Texas, Austin, and joins us by way of Skype. Hi, Julia.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
So as you have seen, including on the front page of the New York Times today, the President of the United States and the First Family are strolling on the cobblestone streets of Old Havana in Cuba. What does even this image say to you about what's transpiring today?
It's astonishing. I've been traveling to Cuba and writing about it for a couple of decades plus, and it's hard to imagine that we've gotten here in, I was going to say so fast, it's taken a long time, but really so quickly. This president has made a very important decision, and he moved quickly on it, and the political will in both Washington and Havana is evident by the fact that he and his family are walking around and eating dinner and about to embark on a very, very significant series of exchanges there. I think it's monumentally important.
And why are both sides, the Cubans and Washington, or at least the president, ready for this right now?
On the Cuban side, Raul Castro will stay in office until the beginning of 2018, and he steps down, and that means that the post-Castro era is around the corner. And he and his cohort, demographic age cohort, and many, many other people in that country, I think, have realized that the model that had been there for so very long was really unsustainable. It cannot survive without the Fidel Castro charisma, and that to leave in place the basics of the social welfare institutions and the independent foreign policy, it was essential to make this opening toward the United States, but also to embark on his own reform program at home was essential to calm down the rhetoric and to move toward the normalized relationship with the United States so that on the national security side, Cubans could focus less on antagonism with Washington and more on solving their own problems.
And how about on the Washington side?
Well, on the Washington side, this is, I think, going to be one of the top three or four foreign policy positive legacies of the Obama administration. The president had, I think, taken the measure of the domestic political moment in the United States and seen quite clearly that the antagonism toward change toward Cuba by Cuban Americans had really tamed, and that this was an obstacle for improving American standing in Latin America. The domestic issue was really a paper tiger at the end of the day, as we're seeing now in terms of any significant resistance to it. And I think Obama is drawn to taking on issues that are difficult and have a certain flair to them, and Cuba certainly does.
And so does the fact that, I mean, you say the Castro regime is coming to an end, but one of the things that endures in Cuba is violation, significant violation of human rights. Just last year, according to one report, there were some 8,600 detentions of political activists there. Does the U.S.-Cuban rapprochement mean any change in terms of getting Cuba to be able to abide by international norms of human rights?
My view on that human rights question is that it would be very much a mistake to assume that an opening with the United States means that Cuba dramatically changes its domestic political profile. And I think that this kind of catch and release, detention, low intensity repression, if you will, that continues is a reaction to and perpetrated by the institutions on that island that still are very much about political control, obviously. And an opening with the United States does not and will not change that overnight.
How about in terms of trade and business? There already are many international businesses that are in Cuba. It is still a honeymoon destination for many Europeans. What does the potentiality of American business in Cuba mean for the country and for its economy?
The United States is a natural market for Cuba. Cuba has more than 10% of its population living in the United States. There's practically a commuter economy developing between Florida and Cuba. I think the commercial opportunity, because of the geographic proximity and because Cuba is just so easily integratable into the Gulf Coast and North America economy, is really going to grow. Now, it's not going to grow as quickly, perhaps, as some would like. There are lots of laws and regulations and sanctions in place in the United States still. Cuba, likewise, has made it very clear that it wants to have a diversified trade and economic portfolio. We are not seeing the transition to free market capitalism there. So the rules and the hoops and the requirements that American businesses will have to abide by will be, you know, just as difficult, rigorous, and painstaking to get through as the Europeans. But I do think that if you're asking about how commercial engagement will change Cuba, it will change Cuba. It's already changing Cuba.
Julia Zweig, Senior Research Fellow at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas in Austin, and the author of several books on Cuba, including Cuba, What Everyone Needs to Know. A third edition is about to come out. Julia Zweig, thank you again.
Thanks very much, Lisa.